Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, September 6, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 4 in Bill's story, the first paragraph that begins with abruptly in October 1929. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will be reading the 12 Steps, Kim T. will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Kara L., Margaret D., and Lisa B. The share ID for Sunday, September 6th, the special edition, is 15,295. That's 15295. And this morning's Monday, September 7th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 15,298. That's 15298. Our newcomer greeter for today is Betsy H., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, fellow travelers. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive eater in northern Michigan. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Shelley E. Kim T., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Sure. The 12 traditions. This is Kim T., also in northern Michigan. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA measurement is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those who serve. Number 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at a level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Anonymity is the spiritual, or number 12, excuse me, is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in Bill's story on page 4, the first paragraph that begins with abruptly in October 1929. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Kara L., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, my fellows. My name is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater, Long Beach, California. Abruptly, in October 1929, hell broke loose on the New York Stock Exchange. After one of those days of inferno, I wobbled from a hotel bar to a brokerage office. It was 8 o'clock, 5 hours after the market closed. The ticker still clattered. I was staring at an inch of tape, which bore the inscription XYZ. Negative 32. It had been 52 that morning. I was finished, and so were many friends. The papers reported men jumping to their deaths from towers of high finance. That disgusted me. I would not jump. I went back to the bar. My friends had dropped several millions since 10 o'clock. So what? Tomorrow was another day. As I drank, the old fierce determination to win came back. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., compulsive overeater, recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And I know this, you know, when I know this sense, right? Things are falling apart around me. That's okay. I'll just step up and I'll just put my will in there and I will just fix everything. Unfortunately, as Bill will come to see, and I saw in my life, that doesn't work. I can't fix everything. I can fix nothing. My higher power needs to do for me what I cannot do for myself. You know, here's Bill, and his friends are jumping from the, you know, people he knew are jumping to their death, and Bill is taking a slower death, right? He's returning to the bar. He's going to get good and drunk, and he's going to take that slow decline. Because why? Tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow was always another day for me. I could always slide down, and I could always just go to oblivion. You know, that I can't even describe it, that feeling of, I'm just going to eat myself out of this misery today. Tomorrow I'll be better. Tomorrow I will be my best self. I can't tell you how many times I thought that, how many times I went into this exact action that Bill is doing, how I identify so much. And it's such, and I'm so excited we're reading this because I can see myself in Bill's slow descent, right? I see myself in that determination. You know, I see myself in that promise I made myself every day of tomorrow. Today, I might as well get good and drunk on the food, but tomorrow I would be that person that I knew I was. And it wasn't until I figured out that tomorrow was the same as today, right? It wasn't until I could plug into my higher power and have my higher power take me out of that cycle, right? It wasn't until I could fully let go and say, I can't fix today or tomorrow without the help of my higher power. When I finally got that in my heart and in my head and through my body and through my breath and through everything, when I found the abundance of my higher power and I started trusting in it and I started letting go of my fierce determination and my will, that's when the change came. And I'm ever so grateful for every moment I spent in my fierce determination because it led to the beauty of every moment I get to spend today. With that, I pass. Thank you, everybody who's doing service today. And I look forward to hearing from all of my fellows.
Thank you, Kara L., for getting us started this morning. So again, we are in Bill's story. We're on page 4, the first paragraph, abruptly in October 1929. And I'm going to take some names for people who'd like to share. But just a reminder that although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to
Liz.
Share on this paragraph?
Liz.
Margo.
Liz.
Mary G.
Margo.
Margo,
Bruce
what's your
B.
first initial?
B as in boy.
Okay, and I have Mary G. and Bruce E.
Michelle J.
I got Michelle. What's your initial, Michelle?
J.
J. And who came in after Michelle?
Lisa B.
Lisa B. Okay, let's stop there. Great. Okay, I have Liz. I'll get your initial when you come on. Margo B., Mary G., Bruce E., Michelle J., and Lisa B. So good morning, Liz. Go ahead, please. And what's your first initial of your last name? Star one to unmute, Liz.
Hi, it's Liz S.
Okay, go ahead, Liz.
I find this to be one of the most tragic paragraphs in the entire book. And the reason for that is that Bill finds men jumping from towers to be, his empathy, his sympathy, his ability to care is gone. And it's gone because he's drinking. He's lost. And there are times when I read this paragraph where I feel, not real hatred, but absolutely I despise him. And I really dislike him. And it's not real. It's just a feeling of my great grandfather shot himself during this time because he lost hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres along the Hudson. And all of his money during this time, and left a wife and two children. So when I read this about men jumping from towers, it's like Bill doesn't realize that's what he's doing. He's just doing it in slow motion. But he also doesn't realize that these men have families, have children. And it's because he's been drinking, and his soul, his heart has been affected. And that's what I think about. He's lost. Part of him, he's just gone. And he believes that alcohol is the solution. Alcohol will help him. And that fierce determination is all that he needs. So there's completely, there's this twist in his mind that has occurred, that he, you know, despises these men for jumping, and that he's not going to jump, he's going to drink, and then everything will be fine. So it's this complete distortion that's happening in his thinking and in his mind, and it's all because of alcohol. So I just, that's what I pick up on every single time. And I think it's horrifically sad to watch this progression begin in this way. And I just want to share that because for him to feel nothing about his friend jumping to death, I think is a tragedy. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz S. Okay, Margot B., you're up next, followed by Mary G.
Who's next?
Star one to unmute. Margot? Is that you, Margot?
Oh, hi, Margot. Sorry, that's okay. Hi, Margot, compulsive overeater. Oh, thank you so much for the service. Thank you for the comments around the room. So much is going through my head, as usual, and I just want to say that almonds are not the solution, nor is a can of almonds the solution, and I know that one would never satisfy me, and the nine that I limit myself to would never satisfy me because of the hole in my soul, and only God can satisfy me. And that's the purpose of the book, for me to find God, walk with him so I can be of service, clean house, and trust in him, right? And what comes to my heart and when I heard this, I was like, wow, you know, how much this self-destruction and the symptom of compulsively overeating, among other addictions, saved my life, right? It literally saved my life, because how many times did I want to kill myself because of the way I was feeling and my distorted thinking and my insane thinking? Oh, my gosh, you know, and I'll never forget when somebody said to me, you know, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And he runs to the bar, I run to the refrigerator, I run to the cabinet, whatever, to soothe the feelings that I'm having. Now, did I know that then? Of course not. But by God's grace and mercy, I know that today, so that I can pick up the tool of these programs instead of the weapon of self-destruction and self-hate of food, and abusing food, I should say. And I need to use all the tools, whether it's my sponsor, the big book, these meetings, whatever it might be, the telephone. And it just struck me that, you know, it disgusted him to, like, jump, you know, that he had to go back to the bar, you know. And I was told a long time ago that the rooms that don't get rid of my feelings, that they teach me how to handle the feelings. And beating myself up with food is not a solution anymore, because I found these tools that lead me to God. And I'm just so grateful to claim my seat. And really, you know, that's all I really wanted to say. Although I do have to say that, you know, when you're looking on the other side, just the level of self-absorption when I'm in this disease, you know, whether picking up or not, I have to always be mindful that my duty is to be out of myself on some level, as well as that balance of self-care. So I just wanted to say that too. And again, the can of almonds would not be a form of self-care. I'm just saying. Okay, thanks for listening.
Thank you, Margot B. Okay, good morning, Mary G. You're up next, followed by Bruce E.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mary G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Mesa, Arizona. And, you know, this paragraph just struck me on several levels. You know, when all hell broke loose, oh, my gosh, so often in my life, the chaos that I started, you know, everything would just be, you know, falling apart. And what would I do? I would run away from it. You know, I would run away from what I started because it got too overwhelming. I just couldn't deal with, you know, the consequences of my behaviors. And so in my mind, as I was, you know, numbing out to oblivion, I would think, oh, tomorrow's another day. Tomorrow, everything will be fine. And I would imagine the myriad of ways that I would fix whatever I had started, and sometimes it wasn't something that I started, but anything uncomfortable. you know, I would think of the ways that I would fit it and come out the heroin on top of it. The other way that this paragraph really spoke to me was the fact that, you know, how often did I start a diet and, you know, just was going along, and then all of a sudden I picked up again and I'm like, okay, what's the use? I'm just not going to worry about it anymore today. Tomorrow will be another day, and tomorrow is the day that I'm going to make this work. The old fierce determination, and tomorrow I am going to, you know, get this right. And, you know, this was the whole problem. I was going to do it, and I can't do it. If I'm truly powerless, I can't do this. You know, I need to rely on a higher power. And, you know, I spent 17 years in the rooms of OA still trying to do it my way, you know, still trying to discover the way to be a normal eater. And that just isn't going to happen. And I'm so grateful today that I know who I am. I know that when my family gets together, you know, I just avoid all the snack tables. I just don't even go near them because I have found myself in the past, you know, picking up something unconsciously and eating it. And I don't want to do that. So I avoid those places. And I don't stay in tomorrow. I stay in today. I try to live in the moment exactly where my feet are planted today. And so I'm grateful. Thank you all for letting me share on this paragraph. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary G. Bruce E., you are up next, followed by Michelle J. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Thank you, everybody, and glad to be on the line, and really helps me to be able to get on here and share and hear the shares, and thanks for everybody doing service. So in October 1929, hell broke loose on the New York Stock Exchange. Well, previous to that, everything had been pretty much up, right? Everything had been going good. Now, all of a sudden in October, everything starts going down. You know, it wasn't supposed to do that, right? It's always supposed to go up. Now it went down. I generally noticed in my life, maybe not those on the call, but my life, September, October are generally big event times in my life. Got married then, went to service then, started school then. You know, big things usually happen, including was born in October. And so anyway, seems like when the market's going up the whole year in October, it corrects. If the market's been going down the whole year in October, it goes up. But anyway, regardless of all that, he staggers. He's drunk. He staggers from the hotel bar. The XYZ is down. It's at 32. It went down $20 that day. It went down from 52 to 32, which is a 40% correction. And he's saying he's finished, and many of his friends are finished. In other words, he's been had people investing in the market, and they're finished as well as his friends. And so everything's down the tubes. Although he notices that men are jumping from the windows, that disgusted him. In other words, I think he's thinking, oh, they're all a bunch of losers. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, they didn't have alcohol and sugar. You know, they just had the finances, and they were ruined, so they jumped. He had sugar to turn to. He could go back to the bar, and here's liquid sugar that he could pound down for the rest of the night. You know, so he had something else going for him. The others didn't have. Everybody's dropped millions. And then tomorrow was another day. You know, okay, I always thought that, well, tomorrow's another day. I'll pound down the sugar today. But tomorrow I'm going to start that diet. Tomorrow is going to be the magic moment is going to come to me once again. I'm going to pound that sugar down today, and tomorrow I'm not going to do that. But because I had the allergy of the body and the phenomenal craving, I always did it. You know, so never could figure out why, and was disgusted with myself as well as everybody else. As I drank, the old fierce determination to win came back. Well, you know, the alcohol, the sugar and the alcohol hit his brain and that ego. And I mean, it thrust him back in the ballgame again. The old fierce determination to win came back, and it happens. It still happens to me. You know, the ego gets up there, even though I'm not on the sugar now, but the ego gets Thank up you. There. Yeah, I can make it. I can make it. Thank you. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Brucey. Okay, Michelle, you're up, followed by Lisa B. Go ahead, Michelle J.
Thank you so much, everybody. This is Michelle J. calling in from Arkansas. Oh, I am a recovered and recovering food alcoholic. Tell you what, I was thinking about this, and 2 years ago, before OA, before Vision, before recovery, I was on this roller coaster ride. Fierce determination, years of self-determination, self-analysis, self-diagnoses. I mean, I just wanted for my crumbling worlds, because they were constantly falling apart. Living in a tumultuous family, in a life that continually exploded and fell apart. You know, the recovery came for me when I realized that it was coming from God and people with God who had skin on. And all this running and hiding and self-determination, it started to fall away when I found program. Many of my family relatives, many, used suicide as a way to get out. And so I had this teeter-totter thing of sometimes I was suicidal and sometimes I had this fierce determination. I tried everything and anything to be powerful and in control of my life and things around me. But powerless I am today. All these cravings, the cravings for all this food. It used to be drugs and alcohol, food, of course, sleep. It was a horrible, vicious cycle. But today, 2 hours into program and recovered and working the program, I get up in the morning, and if the world crashes today, I'm not going to self-diagnose, and I'm not going to be self-determined. I am going to turn it over to God. I have a power greater than myself who can sustain me, who can hide me, who can cover me, who can take away these cravings and help me to just feel like I'm okay. Because that's really what I really wanted, was to feel like I was okay. I was good enough. I was going to survive. And I just know that that's there, and it's there for everybody. And I'm so pleased today to be able to just be in this room and be with hundreds of people all over the world, and just, we all know what we're talking about. Each one is speaking the same language and the same feelings and emotions and the same recovery. And I'm so grateful and so pleased and so honored. And thank you so much for letting me share this morning. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Michelle J. And before we take Lisa, a reminder, we are in Bill's story on page 4, the first paragraph. That begins with abruptly in October 1929, and I'll be taking some more names to share on that paragraph after Lisa J. So good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina. And I spell my name L-E-S-A in case anyone wants to make an outreach call to me. I love where it says tomorrow was another day. Well, as I progressed in my illness, that was the whole scary thought. Tomorrow is another day. It was more of the same. You know, they always tell us, and the book tells me, that it's chronic, it's progressive, it's fatal, but it could stay the same for a very long time. And that was the frightening part for me. It's just more of the same, day in, day out, more of the same. And how scary is that? You know, it's a slow death, but that's the scary part. Death can be slow in coming, because I really wasn't afraid of death. I have a belief in an afterlife and of a loving presence. And I really wanted to just go back to maybe where I came from. This is just too hard for me, this life here. That's what I felt. And I was thinking about, like, what was shared, the lack of empathy. I had no empathy or understanding for other people. As long as I had my ingredients that could give me an effect, you know, I'm fine. Get out of my way. I'm fine. But what happened for me, and I guess this is the progression as I got older, it wasn't doing the same thing that it used to do for me. And I became so emotionally and mentally imbalanced. And that was my fear of going insane. The spiritual pain and the emotional and mental pain that I felt was the frightening part for me. And that's why when I came on this line and introduced myself as a newcomer in October of 2015, and I received all these phone calls, that's when my life really changed. And I started working with a sponsor in January of that new year, and I got recovered in 2016. That's when my life changed, you know. So I just wanted to share that, and I'm so grateful to be here. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. Okay, although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on that first paragraph on page 4?
Patty T.
Bevan U.
Okay, I heard. Okay, hold on. I heard three names and I didn't quite get any. Did I hear a Patty?
Larry G. Patty P.
Patty P, Bevan Larry U. G. And
Pam S.
Hold on. I'm not writing as fast as you guys are talking. And I already didn't get the last initials of Patty and Larry. Who came after Larry and before Pam?
Evan.
You. Evan, and what's your initial, Evan?
You.
You, and Pam, what's the first initial of your name?
S, like Sam.
Okay, and I can take two more?
Mary G.
Barbara B.
Okay, let's stop there. And Patty and Larry, I didn't get your initials quickly enough, but I have Patty, Larry, Evan U, Pam S, Mary G, and Barbara B. So go ahead, Patty, with the first initial
Patty.
Of your last name, please.
Hi, my name is Patty P. I'm in California. Compulsive overeater. I want to say long-time listener, first-time caller, because I've never shared before on here. This paragraph, this self-determination versus vulnerability is what it says to me. I'm pretty good at crisis management, having spent 40-some years in an alcoholic and food addict marriage. We've had a lot of crisis, and I seem to thrive when that happens. I know how to handle crisis, and it's not with vulnerability like I do now. It was self-determination. I would step up all the time, snacking and eating and working my way through a problem, but I always came out on the other end because I didn't have the help. I didn't ask for the help. I didn't have the vulnerability that I do now that I've found a way. And I know to ask God for help and how to handle a crisis. The self-determination is just another way of saying that you can handle your problems without God's help. And we all know that doesn't work. Eventually, you just bottom out again and again and again. So. Anyway, I had more to say, but, you know, when you get on here, it's almost like when the microphone comes up to you, you forget everything. So, anyway, thank you very much for being there for me, and I'm happy to be back on the wagon. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty T. Okay, and I think it was Larry G, followed by Evan U. Go ahead, Larry.
Yes, this is Larry G from Northern California. Thank you for your service. Oh, wow. There's so many good shares in this call today. Self-determination. I'm grateful for self-determination. It's one of my assets, but it's also one of my liabilities. And I'm grateful for self-determination because it brought me to visions on May 17th. I'm also a recovering alcoholic, and I used to wake up with these terror dreams I had drank, and it was so real that I would sip in bed and in a cold sweat, checking my body out and checking out the surroundings because it felt so real that I drank. And that was, not drinking is sacred to me. My sobriety date is sacred to me. And last night I had a food dream and I woke up terrified that I'd eaten. And I was talking to my wife this morning about this very same principle of this mantra, I'll start tomorrow. My MO was that I felt that I was a problem eater, that I could stop if I had good reason. And I would actually, my alcoholic thinking was that I would reward myself with food. And, yeah, I'm going to eat today, Larry, having some comfort food. There's no comfort food. But I would, you know, say that to myself and then compulsively overeat and then get back in the program the next day. Somebody from Oregon, I won't break anonymity, but she said something really powerful to me. She said she knew the binge was coming and she couldn't stop. And I, in the end, I knew the binge was coming and I couldn't stop. And all I had left was this frothy emotional peel that I would get back on the wagon the next day. And getting back in the wagon never helped, never stopped, never came in the end. And I'm so grateful that I found Visions and I have a sponsor that is holding me accountable, the plan of eating. And I'm really grateful that I have self-determination, but not in this program today. It's God determination. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Larry G. Okay, Evan U., you are up, followed by Pam S. Good morning, Evan.
Hi, everybody. This is Evan U. from California. Lovely to be here with you all. Thank you, Team Monday, for your service. I don't love sharing in this meeting. I feel like I'm not very good at it yet. I'm still pretty new. But I feel like it's important that I share. And I really related to this, you know, where he says, that disgusted me, I would not jump. The old fierce determination to win came back because for so long, that was what I had to do, you know. Disgust in the positive way and the negative way is what drove me. You know, my whole life was built on that, was I judged everybody else and said, I'm going to be better than them. And I'm going to make something out of myself because I hated myself so much. That was kind of the only option. And it did vacillate between suicide and hopelessness and depression. And then it would kick like this. The old fierce determination to win came back. You know, and I thought that was me, and I thought that was my true self, that fierce determination to win. You know, before I really started to understand, you know, that neither of those poles is me, you know, and that I am this spiritual being having this human experience. And, you know, it was such a bizarre thing to be in the food and to have that be my life, and the delusion. I couldn't see fact from fiction. I was going to make myself into this great thing, and every day it was just eating and eating and eating, you know. And for today, you know, I'm in my fourth step, and I really can just feel the loving presence of God. And although that hasn't sorted everything out yet, one of the gifts that I've seen is, you know, for the first time in my life, I've really seen the gift of true humility and the absolute powerlessness I have. I have an amazing and wonderful life, and I'm completely powerless over it. You know, and in my disease, I think I got myself there. I did it, and maybe with God's help, but it was me. You know, and now I see that it was God that was doing it all along and not me. And just the peace, the peace of true humility that I'd love to say that I live in, but I don't, you know. But that's why I'm continuing to work the steps. A sponsee of mine came onto this call, and she's like, oh, my God, I love it. And that's how I feel. The reason I'm here is because somebody had me dial in, and I dialed in. And the quality and the tone of what was underneath the voices is just completely captured me and resonated with me. And so I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful to be with you all, learning from you all, sharing with you all. And with that, I pass. Have a great day.
Thank you, Evan U. Okay, Pam
Hi.
S., you're up next, followed by Mary G.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Pam S., grateful, compulsive overeater, recovered, not cured, Akron, Ohio area. That one sentence, the second to the last sentence, tomorrow was another day. It was always going to be another day with me. I promise God, just let me do this, and tomorrow's going to be different. And I can remember I almost died with my gallbladder disease. You know, they nicked my liver. I had peritonitis. And I remember praying to God, God, just please let me live, because I will start eating healthy. I promise I will start eating healthy. And, of course, I couldn't, you know. Came to OA 27 years ago, had over 5 years of abstinence, left, been back and forth, left with some relapse, not in OA anymore, came back July 9th, got my old sponsor back that I've had, you know, through all this, off and on for 27 years. I'm grateful for finding a vision for you. But the tomorrow never came. I was always going to start, you know. I'd go to bed at night and pray, God, just please let me be abstinent. You know, because what I really wanted to do is I just wanted to be thin and healthy and not do anything to get there. But this time something changed. You know, I really had that psychic change. I'm grateful. My sponsor, you know, takes me through the big book. You know, I finished my amends last week, did restitution for my last one. You know, and I'm working 10, 11, 12, and I'm really grateful for that. And this is such a gift. This recovery is such a gift. And so just that, I just always want to remember that tomorrow thing, because, you know, it never came until I came to OA and worked the steps. And I was just thinking, it was weird, but today I was thinking about a lot of things, about being down in the basement, you know, being in that black hole of desperation. And I'm thinking, you know, what if I didn't have any steps and I couldn't get back out of the basement? And then I started thinking, because the steps are just 12 steps. The 12 steps and principles of OA, that's what got me out of the basement to come back, well, to surrender, and to start working those steps, you know, so that I can live one day at a time. And thank you, everybody, for your service, and I pass.
Thank you, Pam S. Mary G., you're up next, followed by Barbara B.
Hi, good morning. This is Mary G., right outside Chicago, Illinois. Thank you for everyone giving their service this morning. And so that disgusted me. I would not jump. I went back to the bar. For me, I see just this critical thinking, the judgment. And that's a character defect that I share with Bill here. And I, after reading this line, you know, he's judging these men, but he went back to the bar. So he felt this, you know, this discomfort. So he goes to his solution, which is the alcohol. This morning, I criticized my husband. He, you know, wasn't following my script. He was doing something in a way in which I didn't agree with, and I did a sharp little, you know, critical statement to him. And the great part about program is I don't have to go back to the bar after I just did that. I could make an amends, and I could do a 10th step on it. I have a program, an outline that I follow when I, you know, display one of my defects of character. And I'm just so grateful for that I didn't have to get into the food this morning because of my judgmental thinking. And for me, that's program, just these simple little everyday life experiences, you know, little nuggets of life that happen. I know here in Bill's story, this is, you know, quite intense of, you know, these men jumping from high finance, but this is my life experience. You know, I'm a mom and I'm a wife, and these are the things that trigger me. So I'm grateful. So grateful that I have a program that I get to follow that keeps me out of the food, and I have a higher power. And yeah, that is all I have for my past. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary G. Okay, Barbara B., you are up. And after Barbara,
Thank you. Good morning. This is Barbara B. in California, compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered. And this is my first time sharing. And I was just really touched, or, you know, the thought that came to me when, you know, he was sharing, Bill was sharing how, you know, all these people were jumping from windows and this great loss and everything, but he's sharing, yeah, I'm going to go, tomorrow's another day, I'm going to go and drink it off or whatever. I just felt like it was a remembrance of how God intervened here, and how a lot of times when people share, you know, say, by the grace of God, you know, I'm sober today or I'm abstinent today. And it just kind of brought out that confirmation, by the grace of God, I have abstinence and I've recovered from that compulsive need to fix feelings with food. And God's intervention here brought him to be the foundation of all of our 12-step programs in recovery, you know, because he was the cornerstone, him and Dr. Bob, and all the other groups that have come from it for whatever our addictions are. And so it's just, I'm thinking of, you know, like right now there's some struggles or some hard things going on with friends' health, or just, you know, the times, or with pandemic and everything. And gratefully, food is not my go-to now. It's not my answer. I have these calls that I can jump on last minute when I think, oh yeah, it's a 7 o'clock call. And there's people that say things that remind me of recovery. And there's people that have reached out to me, and I've got them in my phone now, and I can reach out to them. And because of the fact that we're all over the states, there's different time zones. So that gives me more opportunity. You know, when it's late here, it might be early there, or vice versa. And that God has given me this program, like he gave Bill, you know, that time, instead of jumping from windows like a lot of people, he went and got a drink. So that wasn't a final permanent best solution. You know, he still went on and was able to become sober and become this foundation. So I'm just grateful for that. And thank you for the people that make this call available and for everybody participating. And I'll pass with that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Barbara B. Would anyone like to take a minute and a half share? Okay. Well, we'll stop early because maybe we can get more names on sponsors and newcomers then. Okay. So thank you, Team Mundy, for your service this morning. Thank you, everyone who shared this morning. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Margaret D., would you please read A Vision for You?
Hi, my name is Margaret D. I'm in Georgia, and this is A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.